Chapter 41. We arrived at the house in which I lived. I would not ask him to come in with me, but walked up the stairs without a word. He followed me and entered the apartment on my heels. He had not been in it before, but he never gave a glance at the room I had been at pains to make pleasing to the eye. There was a tin of tobacco on the table, and taking out his pipe, he filled it. He sat down on the only chair that had no arms and tilted himself on the back legs. "If you're going to make yourself at home, why don't you sit in an armchair?" I said irritably. "Why are you concerned about my comfort?" "I'm not," I retorted, "but only about my own. It makes me uncomfortable to see someone sit on an uncomfortable chair." He chuckled, but did not move. He smoked on in silence, taking no further notice of me, and apparently was absorbed in thought. I wondered why he'd come. Until long habit has blunted the sensibility, there is something disconcerting to the writer in the instinct which causes him to take an interest in the singularities of human nature, so absorbing that his moral sense is powerless against it. He recognizes in himself an artistic satisfaction in the contemplation of evil, which a little startles him. But sincerity forces him to confess that the disapproval he feels for certain actions is not nearly so strong as his curiosity in their reasons. The character of a scoundrel, logical and complete, has a fascination for his creator, which is an outrage to law and order. I expect that Shakespeare devised Iago with a gusto which he never knew when, weaving moonbeams with his fancy, he imagined Desdemona. It may be that in his rogues the writer gratifies instincts deep-rooted in him, which the manners and customs of a civilized world have forced back to the mysterious recesses of the subconscious. In giving to the character of his invention flesh and bones, he is giving life to that part of himself which finds no other means of expression. His satisfaction is a sense of liberation.